special election night coverage of the 2022 midterms on Florida Man Radio.
All right. Is that us?
I got nothing. There we go. What's cracking? You on, Shannon?
I'm on 2022 midterms Florida Man Radio special election coverage. Gentlemen, how are you? Jonathan Morris is here.
I am well, sir. You all settled in there in the nest?
I am.
Yeah, Shando, bump your volume a bunch.
All right, how's that?
Keep going.
Is that better? More.
Bring it all the way to the top.
I like it. You know how I like more of me.
Yeah, keep going.
How about that?
There we
go.
We're good. I think you got a cord that might have been loose.
Hot as fire to me, but that's
hey, they are hollering for action in Knoxville already. They said, "Get rid of these commercials and let's get the business."
What results are you seeing? I see that Abrams is leading Kemp right now, which is tough to.
Yeah, but not much is in. Right. The big one is DeSantis has already been declared, so they've already called it. Yeah.
Have they really? Yes. I just sat down in the studio. Hey,
so they counted downtown Orlando, and Chris was up. By 80%, they count the rest of the state, and it's over. DeSantis is our governor.
Fantastic.
And Rubio, they called Rubio about 5 minutes.
Did Chris already call and concede, or is he waiting to every left? Because you never know, you know.
He's sweating that self-tan off right now. It's like follow the yellow brick road, baby.
it is early to, wow, I'm surprised that I was watching returns in the other room. And I didn't see. I was waiting for him to roll around. I didn't see that yet. So
I've
been in the home for 20 minutes.
Anna Paulina Luna has taken District 13.
All right,
which is a little surprise how quickly that was called. And Rubio has won his district as well. So
And then out of Alabama, Britt. They called Britt just a few minutes ago.
They called
Britt, Republican Britt. It happens. Oh, okay. It flashed so fast I didn't see his first name. I think it was a Senate race. Trying to take some notes.
That's good. A lot of things are closing in. That's, you know, it's still very early. Oh. Nothing on Hochul, Zeldin. Are those?
Those are closed, but I've yet to see any numbers on that one quite yet.
I see. So that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're playing dirty pool.
I don't expect any surprises. I've just been, a lot of people, you know, a little anxious about, you know, when you start to see, well, it's going to take us a week here and could take us maybe longer than that. And we're going to allow ballots that were sent in up to the 14th, 15th, or whatever. You know, you start to smell those things. It looks like, well, Fetterman. Is Fetterman going to win?
It looks like it.
That's only 3%, though, right?
That's true. 4%, he's got 86.3 to Oz 12.1.
Good. Yeah, that's only one. That's less than one county, and so those numbers are going to take forever to get on that one.
Well, then it's going to take another week or two to count all the absentee ballots, and you know.
Oh yeah, right? And this morning when I was driving, I was stuck on this Lib channel, and the press secretary for the White House was explaining to the American people, "You don't understand the delicacy of opening envelopes and straightening out ballots and running them through the machine. This could take a long time."
It's a delicate procedure.
For the mail-in ballots for Fetterman's race. So they set that one up real good.
Fox News projects Florida Governor DeSantis reelected. Anything out of Arizona? Are they closed? Oh, they're not. They're not closed there.
Yeah, they got two more hours still. Yeah. Or at least another hour.
Yeah, I think 9 is when they close.
9 our time?
9 their time.
Okay.
Which would be, no, 9 hour time. 9 hour time.
Yes, 9 hour time.
I hate dealing with, you know, the damn time change happened. That messed with my head. It always does. Somehow falling back messes with my head more than springing forward. And then it's been messing with my head. And then now I'm going to be spending a week somewhere that's in a different time zone doing the show in this time zone right after falling back. It's a little.
Yeah, you're going to be all over the place.
I'm gonna be messed up.
I wonder if Demings is gonna call in tomorrow to your to your show about his defeat with Big Val.
Oh yes, I can't wait to hear that.
He's gonna be traumatic.
Yeah, you're right.
He's gonna Big Val. You know who I'm is. He's gonna be devastated. He can call in tonight if he's listening tonight. Call in now, buddy. Tell us how bad it is. Oh.
That is maybe I.
Man, there's a lot of Republicans up. I know it's early. They did Paul in Kentucky Senate.
Yeah, Rand Paul. They're already calling that race for him. There wasn't really much of competition in that one.
Yeah.
They
called the Alabama governor.
They called the what?
The governor of Alabama, Republican governor of Alabama.
Oh, yeah?
They just called him to check mark on his name. He was up.
All right.
So it's looking good already. I mean, we're early out the gate, 12 minutes in, but...
Right. It's so tough to look. Missouri is 1% in, and the Democrats got 41% to like 0.03. It's just 1%. I don't even know why they show it at this rate, you know?
Because it looks good on TV.
I guess. And yeah, that gives them something to talk about. And Bill Hemmer could come out and use the touchscreen and bring out the, you know, this was what happened at this county, or this county, or this county.
Yeah, where's my big touchscreen map at? Crying out loud, Eric.
Let's go around the room here. Who believes that most of the races will be settled tonight?
I feel like they should. I think they will, other than up north where they're trying to maintain their power at.
Pennsylvania, I don't think will. Easy.
Yeah, no, I don't see Pennsylvania. I don't see Georgia with, I don't think Warnock Walker is going to be declared. Kemp maybe. Even though the numbers are a little off on that one. But Pennsylvania, yeah, I think that's going to take a long time. And I think Arizona is going to be a fight as well.
I do, too. I think Maricopa County is going to be a nightmare. Which you can lay squarely on the blame of Watcher.
Yeah, every time they put more of Oz is getting farther and farther behind. But did he have a chance at all, honestly, as a TV made-up doctor? I mean, maybe he's a real doctor.
What do you mean? A Labrador question. Retriever stood a chance against. I think people are voting for him because of the D next to his name and only. And you know, I know that most people believe that he'll drop out and his wife will take the position. And I guess her beliefs are the same as his, the same position. So who knows?
Well, that's my question. The fact that it's just Fetterman by name. Obviously, if you look at him and the way he talks and his speech pattern, his ability to function in real time, he's not fit to serve.
I'm sure his brain is working fine, but his ability to communicate, in my opinion, and you know, he could be a fine candidate with as a Democrat and be you know someone that a Democrat wants to vote for. They believe in him. With all that, you know, and his mind works, except for the communication abilities of listening. His, you know, listening to a question and being able to understand it without it being written out, and being able to say things and communicate effectively. I mean, that's 80% of the job of a senator, yes. An elected senator, or a House member.
I mean, I guess my question for a guy brand new to this,
it would be like, well, Shannon's a great talk show host, but he had this stroke, and we don't understand what the hell's going on. Well, keep him going because he's the greatest guy ever. And you know, I'm like banana patch, dog food, beer can. You know, it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, and my doctor says I'm great at this.
Yeah, but Dr. Letter good. Yes.
I like potatoes.
Food.
You ought not talk like that about my boy. I guess my question is, does it, in my mind, as just a normal guy, it didn't matter who they put against Fetterman. They were going to make it where Fetterman won. That's why I asked the question, did Oz ever stand a chance?
Pennsylvania's got some wacky election laws. I mean, first of all, the judge... will allow ballots that up to be counted up to the dated up to November 14th, which is wildly against the state constitution of Pennsylvania, namely because changes like that to election law can't be affected by a judge's signature or ruling. Their own constitution demands that any changes to election laws in that state, and it's the same for most states, must be crafted by the legislature and made into law. Instead of right. Judges going to go, it would be like a judge today, just go, yeah, you know what, abortion is legal everywhere, boom, have at it, as long as you want.
Right.
You know, you can't legislate, you know, from the bench, and that's clearly what's going on. I'm shocked that it hasn't been challenged. Maybe it will be challenged, but those things are like, why is that happening? Why is it going on? But there it is, right in front of you.
Yeah, so Shannon, we got people texting in asking about, has the Alabama race been called yet for governor? If I saw it right, I think they called Britt already for Alabama. Did anybody else see that?
I don't know. I have not seen if it's been called yet, but maybe it has.
All right.
11% in, and Ryan's beating Vance. That's not, you know, it's 11%. They say 11%. You're like, well, it could just be certain counties that are blue, you know, or more counties that are blue and less counties that are red, but we'll never know until.
Right. They got a lot of counting to do.
Demings, they've called it. So governor and Senate in Florida settled.
It's wrapped up. Florida stays red. We still bleed red.
Yeah, and this that DeSantis Crisman was not even close. He took Miami Dade by 10 points. So
Well, no, that was insane. Last night they were saying that when I was watching Tucker, he was saying that for the first time ever, Miami Dade flipped. And that DeSantis pulled the Latino vote and flipped Miami-Dade red last night, as of last night. So
that's huge. That is so huge.
If the Democrats don't hear the message loud and clear by stuff like that happening and like Hillsborough County going red, then they don't understand the suicide path they're on. Well, Scott, Rebop, how many percent is that?
What are you looking at?
I'm just looking at the TV as it flashes up. You know, as they bring up the numbers and with the check mark next to it, that's Fox kind of calling at the bottom. And then
those are the state races, not the Alabama. Oh, these are Senate seats. Britt.
All right, so that was a Senate. No. Britt was Senate.
Yeah, Boyd is way ahead. That's why, election coverage, I don't know, this early.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're not seeing a lot. Polls are starting to close in certain areas. New York's not even closing until 9 o'clock tonight. So.
Did you see the number difference between DeSantis and Chris just a minute ago?
Yeah, it was not
close. That was insane. Wow. He sweeped the floor with that joker.
Who?
DeSantis. It was crazy. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even in the ballpark. It was insanity. I don't even know why Chris wasted his money running.
So some of these, I don't even know what's going on. Duckworth, Indiana, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But the good news is I haven't heard any more nightmare stories out of Maricopa and out of Arizona.
All right. Well, Shannon, answer me this. While we're waiting on some more numbers to come in, some time to pass away. How do you vote on the ballots about amendments? I'll give you my take, but I want to know yours first.
On what?
On just blanket amendments, anything that's amended to the Constitution. Do you have a broad spectrum feel about amendments, or you don't care?
Yes, I feel that no, we should not amend what, state constitution, the federal constitution.
Well, like on the ballot today in Florida, we had 3 amendments to vote on.
Oh yeah, for state con, yeah.
You know, and I've always been taught, you amend the original sometimes too so much, then the original is no longer valid.
Yeah, general, I'm against amending constitutions. You know, in the state of Florida years ago, I remember like a pig in a cage had to have enough room. That was a constitutional to turn around. Remember that? That baloney?
Yeah.
Well, this is a constitutional issue here. This has to be in the state constitution. I mean, 8 feet wide, or if the pig can't turn around 3 times and whatever, it's unconstitutional.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. No. That's how we were raised.
You do what?
No, that's how we were raised with the Morris family. You just vote no on amendments. The Constitution was basically inspired by God with very good wisdom to the men that wrote it. We don't need to be amending it and changing it because our feelings change as we grow.
Do you remember the pig issue in the cage?
Yes, I do. My dad raised pigs.
I had just gotten to Florida. I'd been here like 3 or 4 years. Okay, is that how y'all get down here?
So in parts of South Georgia, Carolina, and Florida where pig used to be big business, they had these things called furrowing crates. And furrowing crates were to maximize production where the sow, the mama pig, did not lay and crush the babies. So the furrowing crate was, as soon as the mom went into gestation, you would put her in the pen, and her feed and her water was on one end, and the poop chute was on the other end. She could not turn around. All she could do was stand up, lay down.
Well, yeah. Can you do it without the Constitution?
And then once she gave birth, she had to stay there for 3 weeks until the pigs were big enough to get out away from her safely without her laying on them. And that maximized profits in the pig industry, big pig, like big pharma, big pig.
Right.
So, yes, it's an issue of humanity and animal welfare. But so 3 states in America have banned furrowing crates. Indiana, Pennsylvania, other states, furrowing crates still go on every day in pig farms. But
not your pigs.
No, not our pigs. Our pigs are all natural.
Free.
They're all free.
Like it's like, yeah. Yep. Born free. It's just.
And it's crazy because even though in the commercial industry they may save every pig for being laid on, but they still lose two or three because they have no immune system because they're born on concrete and they can't get in dirt and they can't get around their mom. They're laying off by themselves on a heating pad. So it was stupid anyway. But yeah, I remember that because my dad made a big deal about it, that when the government has to step in to tell you how to raise your animals,
right?
There's no hope for you as a human being.
I mean, look, they can make guidelines or whatever, but amending a constitution about it is a, if I remember it correctly, that's a very serious solution to an easy problem.
Yes. Well, like today on the Florida Amendment, they wanted to amend tax credits for a certain type of people with certain type of jobs, depending on what you did with the government or different things, that you would get extra tax benefits up to $50,000 more compared to normal citizens that, you know, went out and busted hump every day. And there was some other amendments, but I just didn't know how, if you felt the same way we felt. Like, it's just always good to keep the original.
I'm generally going to be a hard no on amending a constitution of a state.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, we're not involved in amending the Constitution of the United States directly. We're represented in that declaration. But yes, I'm always let's amend the Constitution as little as possible.
So Kemp and Abrams is getting close. They're within 1.5%. But I don't know.
Warnock and Walker getting closer, 33% in. That's going to be a fight there. If you're going to see, who's the first out of all the big races? Who's the first one to call recall, foul? This is going, something's wrong, blah, blah, blah. Which race and which candidate?
I would say it's probably going to be Hobbs and Kerry Lake. That's going to be one that's going to be a fight, mainly because we're going to get to that point. It'll be pretty close, I think. And Hobbs already being that's her job was supposed to be election, and there's been issues all across the board. I think we'll see a little bit of fight on that one. Otherwise,
Uncle Zeldin.
I'm curious if those numbers come in again. We got about 30 minutes before that poll's even close, so it'll be a little bit before we start seeing those. But otherwise, those two, I think Georgia and Pennsylvania ones are going to be the biggest toss-up ones when I look across the board.
Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania. Yeah, I agree. Those, and I don't know what's going on in Michigan governor's race there, because they haven't closed yet either, I don't think.
No, I think they're
And what, New York doesn't close till 9 p.m.?
Yeah, they're holding until 9 tonight.
Oh, well. All right, Shannon, I got a question for you from Keller. He wants to know, why is the check mark on the lower percentage for the candidate when they're only 6% in?
Well, they're just indicating who's in the lead now. I don't know. Maybe it's misleading. I agree. They probably shouldn't put a check mark when you got 3% in or 1% in. You shouldn't put a check mark in some guy's column if he's not.
Well, it's really what they're doing on those. When the answer to that question is the fact that they are so confident about the rest of the votes coming in that they go ahead and call them to that spot. The DeSantis one is not over technically. There's still 25% of the vote to come in, but they are so confident of the ones they've already received. They know the other 25% are probably going to come out of Republican areas anyway.
Okay.
So you can go ahead and call it. So some of them are so confident where you're like 1% in, but that might have been the one little Democrat area, and they're like, okay, the numbers were way too low for him to even compete. So they're going to go ahead and call it.
So if he won that section, he's going to win the rest of it.
Correct, yeah. That's usually what they're doing. It's like this Ohio governor one.
DeWine's
already up 60% with 17%, and they're going to call that because they don't think there's going to be enough counties that are out that are non-Republican.
He can't recover. Yeah. Okay.
He can't recover.
In other news, Shannon, Matt just texted in, Fox News just reported Orlando International Airport has closed in preparation for Tropical Storm Nicole.
What airport?
Orlando International.
It's supposed to close tomorrow, I think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's going to close at Wednesday at 4 p.m. tomorrow.
So you're
good tomorrow, yeah.
All right. Well, you're leaving early in the morning, right?
Ass crack of dawn, my friend.
There you go.
I'll be up around the time, probably an hour after you.
Call me. We'll get some grits. I'll make you some grits in the morning. Man, look at that Fetterman Oz. 83-15. That's insane.
That's one that's going to have to flesh out. Who knows? There's some that I won't believe if they're landslides. If Fetterman wins by a landslide, I don't know that I'm necessarily trusting that.
No, because as a rational human being, I would not vote for him to represent me. anywhere.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of I don't think people are voting him because that's the people are they're not saying, hey, that's the guy I want representing me. They're like, hey, that's the guy with the D next to his name, and we need more Democrats. That's the only reason. Look,
or they're like, that's the guy that may kill me with a chainsaw one day, and I don't want
Florida now.
Look at the red.
They haven't called it for Rubio, but he's clearly a couple of points, 3 points ahead with 88% in. That's Osceola County.
Yeah. Well, see, it's crazy because a while ago we saw them call it, right, Eric?
Yeah, I think they're still going to call it. He's up 3%. Most of all of the counties that are left are Republican counties. So, yeah, I doubt she's going to win the rest of those other ones. So,
man. Right. Well, she gets to go right back to her job as a congresswoman, yeah. Right?
Oh, she doesn't lose that job running for a new one?
Nope.
Oh, that's no skin in the game.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm with you, brother. Man. Put where your mouth is. Put them up on the shopping block right, and show me you mean it.
Yeah, Chris was trying to railroad Rubio into what could possibly happen in the future, and Big Val didn't even give up her job to run for a new job?
No.
All right, we got to take a break. Yes. Florida Man Radio, live coverage of a bunch of numbers. Election 2022, Shannon Burke, Jonathan Morris, and the whole crew. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to special election night coverage of the 2022 midterm elections on Florida Man Radio.
Numbers are coming in. We're keeping up with live updates. We're all here together. Shannon, we got a special guest on the phone. You want to bring John Jensen on?
Sure, yeah.
All right. John Jensen's on the line.
How are you, brother? What's happening?
Hey, Shannon, what's up, man? Yeah, so far so good. It looks no surprises that I see. It's sliding toward Republican in the House, and no surprises at all in governor or Senate right now. I think the only thing that really stood out to me is the level that DeSantis and Rubio pounded the Democrats, like 17 points, which is on much, much on the higher side of what I would have guessed.
1 million
votes. We were led to believe that those were, not DeSantis, but we knew that it was 8-10 at least, but not Rubio and a Big Val. But, that's not a big surprise. It is a big surprise.
Rubio had a really tight race last time he ran. So that's been a really big shift for him. He went from winning by a little to winning by that's a big margin. And she's not unknown. She's for real.
Right. Oh, yeah. Typically, at this point in a race, that they anticipate, a week or many days in counting, you see that the conservatives are usually up. But in Pennsylvania, it's quite the opposite. There, what do you make of that? Fetterman is 80% in the lead.
I'm going to say it really depends on which districts come in first. As the precincts report, if you get a whole bunch of blue early, it shifts everything. You know, that's why some of these mappings really look weird at the state level, because you can have people ahead in the percent and the person behind is likely to win. Just because the they know what's coming for the most part in these districts. You know, it's very odd the district would flip-flop really hard. If it's a bright blue district, it's going to stay that way. Or bright red, it's going to stay that way. Very odd it would flip-flop the other way, because people would see that coming, typically.
did you predict J.D. Vance to beat Ryan?
Yes.
I think he will, too.
I don't think it's close. I think he'll take him by 5 to 8 points.
All right. Well, they got 27% in, and he's probably...
But wait, Ryan held up a Miller Lite can yesterday. I thought he was with the people.
Yeah.
I thought he had his finger on the pulse of the Ohioans.
They drink in Ohio?
I guess. He in his last campaign, he said, we're taking it home as he held up a Miller Lite. I always took him for a White Claw guy. Hey, John, just, what do you think about DeSantis taking Miami-Dade? You think the people have spoken, right?
I think definitely. And you're going to see a lot of that nationally where I'll call it Democrats rebelling. You know, you are going to have districts that are typically blue flip to red. Zeldin up in New York, Dixon up in Michigan, they're going to benefit by a lot of these moderate Democrats just saying enough with the woke agenda, enough with the extremism. You know, we have kitchen table issues you are not addressing. You're off on the fringe. Get back to being what Democrats are, blah, blah, blah. But for now, they're going to rebel paint it bright blue, you know. And I tell you one thing, tomorrow or Friday or 10 days, whenever we have the clear map of how this plays out, the Democratic leadership is going to have to do a lot of soul searching. Because if you're off the reservation, you are setting yourself up to get massacred in 2024, right, unless you change hard from where you are and go back toward middle.
Do you think it pulls in the far, far left? I mean, this blind support of trans ideology and kids, and do you think that gets pulled in from the left, though? Because we talked about a story today, a think tank in D.C., a liberal think tank, warning Democrats that even Democrats think that they are, that they've, you know, you think that we're being told that conservatives have an extremism problem, that their own party believes that that Democrats are extreme in those whack far left, you know, trans ideology, gender stuff, young things in the schools, blah, 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 blah. Do you think it'll force the Democrats to actively pull back on that?
Let's go a little bit broader than that, but the answer is yes. You're going to have abortion up to the day of birth. Okay, this is the hill they want to fight on right now. They want to teach sex and show porn, basically books with, you know, outlandish readings to people, kids that are kindergarten to eighth grade. They want to have puberty blockers to kids without the parents' consent. Okay, and they want to be soft on crime and elevate criminals above law-abiding citizens while you have wide-open borders. This is the insanity that is the Democratic Party
right now.
You are a moderate in that party, you can't stomach that.
But
so
John,
it's not that you can't believe that on the left. It's you have to mix a whole bunch of other things in that we're going to fight on energy policy, and we're going to fight on being tougher on crime. We're going to have a sensible border policy, et cetera, et cetera. You can still have trans, you know, in there or your woke beliefs, all the kind of stuff, but you cannot make it the pinnacle.
Right.
All the kitchen table items that are important to independents and moderates are ignored.
Well, that's a hard
while
lesson,
the left and mainstream medium harps about January 6th, abortion, guns, you know, they're off in la-la land.
But, John, the writing was on the wall with Glenn Youngkin and what went down.
Correct.
It was on the wall then. But many people said from then till today, there, no matter what the news was, the bad news was, there was no pivot. There was no even, they didn't even start to turn the ship.
It was like they doubled down on it.
Yeah, they're like, screw this, let's double down on all of this nonsense and go full-blown wacko. And I think that they've proven that Americans, you know, they're not down with that. And they never once paid attention to what voting Americans actually cared for. And that's the lesson, I think, here.
Well, and
I completely agree. Any sane human being in politics would have walked away from November 2021 with that conclusion. What the Democrats did is doubled down on it, pushed further to the left, got louder with it, and then started to insult people who didn't agree with them completely. Good luck with that strategy. Okay. So this is the hard dose of reality here in midterms 2022. And when the map's all said and done, and it's 240 to 195 in the House and 53 to 47 in the Senate, and there's 31 Republican governors and 19 Democrats, they're going to look back and they said, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
Look in the mirror. You did it to yourself. This is all self-inflicted.
Wow.
Yep. It is. But they rarely learn a lesson, though. But, you know, you would think that hopefully maybe they will next time around with the departure of some grand elder leaders, master legislators like Nancy Pelosi and others. Maybe that's a really good thing for Democrats.
I think both parties need to really have a facelift, a change of leadership. Like, I'd love to see someone like a Tim Scott be the majority leader and Elise Stefanik be Speaker of the House and get some fresh blood leaders in there, a little younger, a little, not necessarily away from Trump, but not necessarily identified in lockstep with him, but not the wishy-washy crap that we have and not polarizing stuff that the Democrats bring out.
Right.
Fresh leadership on both sides, Let's be sensible and deal with these kitchen table issues for Americans.
Is Rick Scott on your list for Senate leadership, majority leader?
I would rather have Tim Scott as opposed to Rick Scott. I think Rick Scott had a really interesting, I'll call it proposal, his 9-point plan. He has some interesting ideas in there. I give him a lot of credit for that, meaning he put it out there. No one else really put their game plan out there. He did and got vilified for it. Oh, take away Social Security. It's not what it says. He wants to redo all major legislation every 5 years so it stays current. Are we still in line with this? Is this still speaking for us? Is this still appropriate? I think that's a great idea, but people get terrified. Oh, my God, you're going to gut Social Security. That's not what it says. But we do have to be sensible so we're not just crushing ourselves with the burden of it without paying for it.
I forgot what I was going to ask you. Go ahead. Guys?
No, I guess my question is, how do you get that? You bring up Tim Scott and that leadership.
Oh, that was what I was going
to
bring up.
As you know, common free people making votes and decisions, how do we get to that point?
Rick Scott has some baggage. Tim Scott has no baggage. And he's a bright young stud. Yeah.
And put this way, he had a what I call the under Trump in 2018, they passed the Criminal Justice Reform First Step Act. Okay. To me, Tim Scott, when the Democrats were in power, came up with Criminal Justice Reform Act, the second step, basically. He went to the next level. Let's keep going with this. They passed it 84-16 back in 2018. So it was a highly bipartisan effort.
Right.
Tim Scott couldn't even get to the floor to have a conversation about it. They just shut him down. If you have someone like that in leadership that has a real vision, a real ID, real bipartisan effort, that can sell across both sides of the aisle, get something done for America, start tightening up the loopholes in crime and sentencing that's good for everybody. It's better for cops, better for criminals, it's better for mainstream America, and we get back to solving an issue as opposed to just keep screaming about it.
What
that makes me crazy. And he's a sensible man, so I think that is an example of other things he could lead on.
He's a big threat to Democrats because he's a black conservative, you know. It's they don't believe it.
he's a Republican to me. I don't care what color he is. He
too.
Happens to be African-American to me. But, they're going to showcase that. Whatever.
What do you make of the exit polls that we've seen come out? First of all, do you trust them? I mean, when people come out of there, like, 47% of people approve of the job Biden's doing, and only 53% disapprove, blah, blah, blah. Do you think they're padded on the way out, like they don't want to be, or are they honest? Some of the things come through, like crime, 80% of people are worried, 20% are not. I believe that. But when one comes out saying that 5% of voters are really super satisfied with the job Biden's doing on the economy, and 20% think it's good, I don't believe that either.
My overall opinion on all polling, whether it be over the phone or in person, is Democrats love to talk about this kind of stuff, and conservatives or Republicans really don't want to open up that box. We're not really productive on that. We'd rather keep it in private, walk away, keep passing, especially depending on where you are. If you're a conservative in New York City, you shut your mouth.
Right.
They will hurt you.
Yeah.
Okay? They will hurt you. I don't mean they're going to make you feel pain, they'll cancel you. I mean, they'll physically assault you.
So the poll, I mean, this is just the world, one side. Rim,
which is why, by the way, every single outcome skews about 4 to 5 percentage points toward Republicans versus what the polling was. If Republicans are down by 3, they'll win by 2. That kind of mentality.
Right.
And that 5% is the people who literally do not participate. I would never answer a question over the phone or in person about politics, highly political dude.
I've never been approached. I've never been called. I'd love to have the opportunity to sway a poll in the wrong direction. I just never have. No one's ever called me.
I have a question for you, John. Do you think we'll ever be able to put the mail-in ballot thing back into the box where we're only using it for emergency situations, or is this the new world we live in that mail-in ballots are taking over?
We're in a new normal, which is both good and bad, for this reason. We are now more comfortable with doing mail-in, we're getting a little bit more in line with policing it. What I would like to have happen is it needs the absentee form, meaning you request it as opposed to blindly sent out to an address.
Right.
Okay. That's what makes me crazy. Right. And I think there has to be safeguards that if you're going to do this, get it notarized. Some kind of a picture of your ID in there, some kind of a double check that it's not just random person mailing in a random ballot having an extra vote. That's what makes me, because there's no policing it. A ballot should be in someone's possession formally from start to finish the entire way.
Yes, no, I got it. Like when I went down to vote today, and I'm very old fashioned, I believe you should vote in person or unless you're absentee emergency situation. They took my driver's license from me. They scanned it. They put it in the machine. I had to sign a piece of paper. They had to verify my signature against my driver's license. And then I got a sealed little blue thing with my ballot all the way until I personally handed it to the lady and it went in the machine. That's not what happens with mail-in ballots.
Right. I agree. But I will say this. The left has always been comfortable with this. Now, you could say it's they play games with it. You could go down that rabbit hole if you choose. But I will speak for Florida. I worked early voting. I've watched every day the increase in ballots. Two-thirds of my county is mail-in, and by far the bulk of that is Republicans. Republicans now playing the mail-in game.
And you feel comfortable.
Now, they might walk in and drop it off in a drop box as opposed to trust the mail itself. But either way, they're getting more comfortable with it. And if we play that same game back, it takes it off the table from the left.
Right.
No matter what you do on the left, you can't hurt us anymore. And with all the governorships or all the state legislatures making very good decisions about how you control elections, good things will happen for both sides. Go win by playing by the rules. That's all we all care about. And if you beat us because you have better ideas, super. Just don't cheat with worse ideas. Right. Then we all lose.
Yeah, no, definitely. 100%.
Yeah. Do you think the media takes a lesson here? We played some audio on the show earlier at MSNBC and CNN, and they put up the list of all the things that voters cared about, and they were shocked. Some of them seemed to be that, you know, what's not on that list? Democracy, their trick, the thing that we are supposed to focus on. Democracy is at risk. Democracy is on the ballot. January 6th. Oh my God! Insurrection. Democracy. Democracy. Apparently, no one gives a rat's ass about it, and they seemed rather shocked over at CNN that democracy wasn't on the list. Do they accept that A is a failure of their messaging, or are they B just completely disconnected from real people?
Two-part answer. I don't think there's a big reality check involved in there because they are part of the elite. They are part of the have, not the have-nots. They are the ivory tower. They are there for their agenda. They don't really care what truth is. They just want to keep spewing what they spew. That said, I do think there's a huge disconnect from mainstream media to the mainstream American person or voter. And if they could bridge that or get closer to that, they would start identifying with real Americans. They should have real conversations about what concerns us. They shouldn't be surprised. They should have been talking to mainstream America for the last 2 years and been completely dialed in, more than me and you. They should have had from the horse's mouth all over America because they have those resources. But quite honestly, no one really watches these people anymore. They get their news information from other sources, and so the louder they get, the more people just turn them off.
I just don't think they're interested in they're more interested in shaping the truth than reporting it, discovering the truth. You know what I mean? There's more of an agenda there, and maybe it's paid off for a long time. But you see some big changes at CNN, some big changes. You see now New York Times and Washington Post and the some other outlets have come out and been very critical, which is, unlike them, of the president and some gaffes he's made and such. I see a shifting tide, at least. Do you see that turning at all? And is it on purpose? Is it for a reason?
It's definitely for a purpose. I'll speak for CNN for a split second. If CNN keeps going the way it is, I will probably start watching it. And I don't say that lightly because I quite honestly, have been disgusted with it historically.
Right.
But they're going down a path where, like right now, they're fact-checking Biden and what he's saying, where there's misinformation and lies involved in what he's saying. I just want truth. So if you're going to talk that way and say, hey, he did a nice job here, and call him out on something he didn't do well. He lied on this, but he's true on this. I'm okay with that. That's called objective journalism. That's awesome. Right. I want truth. I don't want to spin it to the right or spin it to the left. Give me where normal is. And pick a philosophy and apply it to both sides. If you're a jerk on the left, call them out. If you're a jerk on the right, call them out. If you have great ideas, celebrate them, no matter which side you're on, etc. But pick a philosophy and apply it across all spectrum. Don't protect your guy on the left and vilify the guy on the right for identical behavior.
Right.
That's hypocrisy, and it's intolerable.
Hey, John, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
John, if I could ask, in messaging about the threat to democracy on the ballot, how did the Democrats miss that to a guy like me, when you see story after story of American citizens in our Northeast, not in another country, having to choose this winter between energy to heat your home or energy food to put into your body because they're on fixed incomes, and you have American citizens that may either starve or freeze going into some very cold climates, you know, in the upper Northeast, how did they not realize that that was the biggest threat to our society and our way of life?
Because they want what they want. They felt if they went with the threat to democracy mantra that it would scare people into defending this country. I got to tell you, this country is a very resilient country. We don't need to defend democracy. We need to exercise the system of democracy that we have.
Yes.
Okay, we have a great constitutional republic that will stand if we fight for it. That being said, they are in the elite tower. They are disconnected from Main Street. They do not understand what the price at the food store or at the gas station is. They just don't get it, how much we're sucking and swallowing this horrific cost of inflation, how the borders are putting pressure on all of us, how crime is affecting our sanity and our safety. They don't get it because they have private security.
Even worse than that,
John, multi-million-dollar contracts to go out to dinner every single time they choose to because it really doesn't affect them. They're on the upper crust.
Worse than that, we're being told that we're stupid for believing that crime is an issue. Hochul's trying to gaslight people into thinking that Zeldin has lost his mind. He's spun a web of that there's some kind of conspiracy that crime's out of control in New York City. Meanwhile, we're pelted with stories about poor dudes getting stabbed and shot in the subway and pushed in front of a train. And they're literally gaslighting people and saying, I know you think crime's a problem, but it's not. It's not. It's really not. Or in Michael Moore's case, you're just not bright. I'm sorry to say, but 90 million Americans are just stupid. They don't, they're not smart like us, us elite, blah, blah, blah. We're just dumb. So it's gone from gaslighting to now just a straight out insult. You're just stupid.
Well, Hillary Clinton said that lady that got raped in downtown, she was a jogger, got raped in downtown New York City. The guy that raped her had 25 prior charges. And she said, crime is not the problem. It's the Republicans going on TV scaring you about crime. And it's like, are you kidding me? Are we that stupid?
You think we're going to see any sea change, John Jensen, in the typical way that politics are fought today on the battlefield, with hyperbole on one side, wild exaggeration on the other, like killing, they're going to kill Social Security and blah, blah, blah. And where a president takes credit for a bump of the Social Security check, like he did something, his leadership affected it, and then the world gets together and corrects him. No. I mean, are we ever going to get back to some sense of normalcy?
We need to, but here's what would trigger that. If you had a mainstream media that was objective, that would challenge the people with insightful rhetoric, and easy. Biden says, oh, Republicans want to take Social Security and Medicare away from you. Mr. Biden, question, can you please quote, which Republicans exactly want to eliminate Social Security or Medicare?
Right.
He wouldn't have an answer. No one has offered that.
Hey John,
Scott's the only guy who says we should revisit every 5 years to update the system. That's all he said.
John, are you able to stick around with us?
No one else wants to gut the system, but that's the scare tactic they use, but no one challenges them.
Right.
So until we give them objective media, I don't think we see what we need to see from our leaders. Call them out.
John Jensen, follow him on wherever you get your social media, @FixTheNation. John, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir.
Bye. Probably sooner than later. Things go hinky. Stick around. This is 2022 midterms. Your special coverage here on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Yeah.
'22 midterm election night coverage on Florida Man Radio.
Is there anything on? Like he's on. When we see your glory. So it looks like DeSantis is taking the stage in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. Can you bring it up in there? Oh, you can't.
I don't know how to do it, Eric. You need
this? No, can't because we cut you.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Shannon. We'd have to cut you loose, big dog.
That's okay. I got things to do.
Hey, so real quick, while DeSantis is speaking on this, and we mentioned this to John Jensen about DeSantis taking not only Hillsborough but Miami-Dade, do you agree that we have lost the America our grandparents fought for?
Absolutely, 100%.
That nobody, and when I say nobody, so it's not a coincidence that the military enrollment and enlistment is at a record low as the Democratic message is pounding democracy. Nobody wants to sign up and go to foreign soil and give life and limb for today's America.
No, you're absolutely right.
And I think almost,
that's sad.
It is sad. I don't want to quote Tucker Carlson, but he worded it as there used to be a covenant with the government and the American people. And that covenant was, we are America, we are the government, this is your homeland, we will give you these rights and privileges and protection, and at times you may be called upon to go fight and die and not come home. And they have broken that covenant with the blue-collar grassroots people, and now we're like, up yours. I was paraphrasing. So,
yeah, I get it. but you're right. It has a wide spreading effect from military enrollment to pride in country to patriotism. You know, it's and you could feel it. You could see it. You could see it in the numbers. You can hear it in people's voices. It's just it's sad. But I think that's getting ready to turn. I really do.
Oh, I do too. I can feel it. I can absolutely feel it. During the break, we were talking about what makes Carrie Lake so hot. Is it not necessarily her haircut? She's a little short on the bob. But is it her attitude, the way she just boldly goes after?
Yeah, I think so.
It is insane.
Well, she's a professional. She's been in television for a long, long time, 27 years or so in Arizona. And, you know, she knows how to communicate with people. She's a master at it, and it shows. And even in her press conferences, she seems to have tamed the media that's asking questions of her, because they know as journalists that she was a journalist for so long, and they don't want, I think they don't want to be either disrespectful to her, or they don't want to be seen, because they know she's a great judge of who's a good journalist. And she's not like Trump saying, yeah, you're fake news. Whatever. I mean, right. She's been one for 27 years. So yeah. I think they treat her differently than they would the average Joe who's never been in television or journalism.
Right. And I think they do not want to be eaten alive. The other day I watched her. She pulled out a flow chart. She had maps on stage with her, because, you know, her opponent was lashing out that she may have hijacked her, you know, her headquarters or whatever. And she was like, this is where I was at. This is how many of y'all were here in front of me while I was doing it. So how did y'all pick up this story? And she just listed everybody that ran with that fake story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was
with the election deniers. Yeah, she laid it on the line.
Yes.
That's the type of politician we need that puts it right back in their faces. You know, you want to talk about election denial? Here we go. Here's this and this and that. Yeah, she's been honest in that, and she's not, it's not fake news, it's not hyperbole, she's not exaggerating anything. Those were facts, and I wish more politicians would do the same thing.
Yes, I do too. That's what we need. This fight has to be won head on, you know, head to head battle. You think she ends up taking Arizona, or you think there's going to be some malfeasance?
I think there's going to be some malfeasance there. I just smell it. You know, Maricopa County is a nightmare. It was in 2020. Nothing's been done to repair it. Nothing's been done to fix it. We saw the breakdown today in tabulators and counts and this and that. And, you know, and they warned us in advance there, and they warned us in advance in Pennsylvania. But, yeah, I worry about Arizona. I worry about Pennsylvania. I worry about Michigan.
What about Georgia?
Georgia. Yeah, Georgia a lot.
You really do. Have we heard anything out of Herschel Walker tonight?
No.
I haven't seen his name on the screen yet. Georgia's done counting, right? I mean, they're closed, right?
Yeah.
They're about even right now.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're about even. Warnock's got about a 0.1% lead on them right now. So,
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
There'll be some hijinks there, I think.
All right, and you think Texas is good? You think Abbott's got Texas locked up?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't seen those numbers, but they've been closed an hour, right?
Yeah, the last I saw, O'Rourke was up, but there wasn't much numbers actually in yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I asked, while we had a break, O'Rourke popped up. He was ahead in the margins. And that's why I asked Eric, I was like, is this real? Like, does he have a chance? Is he going to do this? Is he going to pull this out somehow? Or is it going to be a cheated race?
No, I don't see any chance of O'Rourke winning that.
Okay.
I don't either. But you never know.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've all been through this before.
The sun will come up tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Here's the audio of Sean Penn giving his Oscar to Zelensky.
I go for it.
It's a loving moment.
This is for you.
Oh, Sean.
Yes.
No.
Please.
That is yours.
No, I feel terrible outside. It's just a symbolic, silly thing.
Yes, but it's...
If I know this is here with you, then I'll feel better and stronger for the fight.
So brave.
You're so brave.
You brought me a statue.
Bring it back.
You brought me a statue of your acting crew. How brave.
Because I'll feel much better knowing...
You said, when you win, bring it back to my house.
You had to be kidding me. They're blowing up their infrastructure and their bridges. But now we have a metal trophy, a gold trophy, a pin.
And what did he give him? A desk set or something? What, some cigars here? This is the weirdest war ever, you know. It's been the most star-studded war I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is worse than the Cuban Missile crisis. Oh, my goodness. I mean, are they even fighting anymore? Is there anything going on?
Yes, it's just not really in the news a whole lot. I don't know, you know.
And I've heard you say this before about things running their cycle, and now all of a sudden, what happened to them? Where'd they go? How does a war against a major power like Russia invading Ukraine just make its round, and now it's just not relevant anymore? How does that happen?
Because it needs to be tucked away. You have an example?
No, just like, I don't understand how it was such a big deal, and Putin's war and Putin's this and the inhumanity.
Here's why, because it's no longer effective. Before, it was a tug at your heartstrings. Everybody put a Ukraine flag on their Twitter handle and their Facebook page. We love Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. If you don't love Ukraine, if you don't support Ukraine, you love Putin. And you know, it's a tool to be used to be politicized.
Okay.
And now that the reports of us just giving the money and giving the money and giving the money, like the guy makes a phone call, like he's in college and calling his dad because he needs his car insurance paid or something. and the check goes, and now most Americans are like, hey, wait a second. It's like $300 million a week, or here, $1 billion there, $3 billion here, $700 million weapons package. So that it starts to fade from the news cycle because it's no longer effective for them, because it's become an enormous drain of taxpayer money at a time when all we care about is inflation and prices and things like that. So it starts to disappear. Why Sean Penn is involved today, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I felt my heart like...
By the way, Eric, let's put me on the list. See if you got to call. I'll go over there. I'll take him something, some bumper stickers, whatever. We just need the press.
You take that cow skull that you have, that extra one. We'll take it over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. See if we can trade it for some
horns.
Stuff. Yeah.
I'll take the horns out of the butcher shop and my burger press. Where's my burger press at? I'll tell you, it's in Ukraine.
That's
my
probably where it is. Yeah. Ukraine. Probably where it is right now. Things are in the news because they're beneficial, then they drop out. Another example, the attack on Paul Pelosi was very useful to extend the attack on democracy from January 6th on into today, and to give Pelosi a convenient exit strategy when she loses power and doesn't want to exist without power. But now that the story comes out where Paul Pelosi opened the door and they read the police report, and then instantly it is retracted,
right,
with no real from the New York Times and by NBC, they retracted it after it had already been out. Now you see it's gone out of the news cycle because it's no longer effective because people are starting to smell a rat, you know.
Right. So real quick, they just called Abbott by 159,000 votes.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. Ooh, ooh. And, you know, I guess my thing was, it was getting so loud about the money going to Ukraine and the washing of the money and the embezzling of the money that they're like, all right, we got to shut this thing down. There's too many people talking about the money. We need to shut it down.
We need to get it out of the news.
We're all fixing to get in trouble. All right, so Abbott, they just called it. And while we were talking about Ukraine, for everybody who cares, because to me it's a big deal as a father, DeSantis brought his entire family, all his little munchkins up on stage. They dropped the confetti. It's official. It's over. So congratulations to Governor Ron DeSantis. That was pretty cool.
You know? Yeah, pretty damn awesome.
It is. And to win by a million.
No, oh, it's almost, they're looking maybe 2 million.
Oh, it moved, the numbers moved again?
Oh, he's got 1.5 million already, okay, and we still have mostly Republican counties left to count, so he may be 2 million plus.
And there was a lot of commas. I literally, all full disclosure, I had to look at Eric, he's like, that's 1 million, right? He was like, yep, that's 1 million. So now it's more than 1 million. Wow. Florida has spoken.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Definitely. We played this earlier, but it's funny to point out how the Democrats project. They accuse their opponent of doing exactly what they're doing. These are the things that Al Franken, former Senator Al Franken, is worried about today in this election.
Okay.
Where's my, there you go. All right.
Don't think those, I'd be for marijuana, because when they prosecute people for marijuana, it's racially biased. We know that. That's a very good reason to legalize it. What I worry about, of course, if the Republicans take over, whether it's by a small margin or a large margin, that they are, first of all, we're not going to be able to pass anything. Secondly, there will be hearings.
By the way, thank God for that. We can stop the bleeding.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Listen to what he says. Second of all,
there will be hearings.
Hearings.
There will be investigations. They'll investigate Hunter Biden. It'll be very toxic. Marjorie Taylor Greene and those people will want to impeach Biden.
How dare a party just investigate and have hearings and want to impeach a president? I mean, that is abhorrent.
I know.
Oh,
right?
Wait, that's exactly what happened in Trump's.
I worry about it just being very, very ugly, and. I'm pretty sure that's pretty predictable.
Well, you set the precedent.
Right. You spent 2 years of his career doing nothing but investigating and impeaching and investigating and accusations.
There is a Senate Intelligence Committee investigation, a Senate Judiciary investigation, a Congressional Intelligence investigation, a Congressional Judiciary investigation, the Mueller investigation. I lost count of like 20 or so investigations. This man was constantly being investigated or impeached for BS. They've cheapened impeachment down to nothing. So for Al Franken to come on here and go, I'm worried about them doing this. Well, that's all you did for the last 6 years. That's all you did was investigate, have hearings and impeach. So you set the table, sit down and eat dinner.
Yep. And then to put the cherry on top, when the man was long gone out of office and away from his home, you serve a no-knock warrant to look for some papers.
Yeah.
You know, come on, man. But you're right. That's their ticket. And they project and make accusations against, you know, the Republicans, so you don't see what they're doing, because they're doing exactly what they're accusing other people of doing.
Right. That's the Solomonsky's, rule for radicals. Rules for radicals.
That's the old playbook.
Read it. I think a lot of these are a referendum. These victories are a referendum on the last 2 years of this administration, because the people that are the Democrats that are, losing, the Crists and the others, they are people that have pawned this, democracy loss off on us for so long. And they also supported everything that Biden did. Oh, he's a genius. One of the best presidents ever. Oh, the accomplishments are just incredible. And now they're seeing that maybe not such a good idea.
Right. And DeSantis couldn't have said it any better about old donkeys. There are people in our political system. It is time to go.
Right.
And it is time to go and get some younger people that maybe can rationalize and have a proper sentence put together. I don't know. I don't know. You look at the people that they're running against. You know, Chris, he's the best they had in Florida to run against. Not that I wanted DeSantis to have a challenge, but Chris was the best they had. Fetterman's the best they have. Biden's the best they have.
And it bodes for a very poor future. The bench is not deep. There's not a whole lot of superstars. And you're like, oh, I can't wait for so and so. He's going to get up there and kick it. Oh, I can't wait for what's her name, because she's been a hot shot. They had a hot shot, Tulsi Gabbard. She said, you guys screw off. I'm leaving this party because you're a bunch of numbnuts. They have no outstanding bench depth at all. Period.
Their number one prospect was that bar chick. What's her name? Ocasio. AOC.
But right now for the future, it's guys like Buttigieg.
Right.
Is there not a person in government that exudes less manliness and power and strength and virility than Buttigieg?
Listen, my grandpa, he was married into the family. My real grandpa died. He was as diehard Democrat as it gets. If he was alive today, he would abandon the Democrat Party over Buttigieg alone. The first time my grandpa, David Dupree, saw another man fake nurse a baby in a hospital bed, he's gone.
Laying next to his husband?
Yeah, he's gone. He's out. He may not go Republican, but he's definitely gone. He's out of the Democratic Party. And I think, when you think about America, we are the leaders of the free world. We are supposed to represent strength and honor and, yes, toxic masculinity. That's right. What wins wars and
keeps people. That's what got us here.
Yes, that's why we are here. 3 pounds of red meat a day.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. That's what got us here. Chicken and beef and toxic masculinity.
Yes, we don't need some fake man laying in a fake hospital bed, fake breastfeeding a baby.
It's so inclusive and, loving and...
Yeah.
That's it. That's what they have. They've squirreled themselves into this position. They celebrated that guy. He was a superstar. I can't remember the town, the crap little town he was mayor of.
Indiana somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
South Bend.
I mean, you took a guy out of South Bend who was a crappy mayor, and he ran for president, and then you elevated him to a cabinet position.
He's a transportation secretary, right?
Yes, but he is a diversity hire. He's got no experience to be enough experience to be a transportation secretary. He's a diversity hire. He's a gay man married to another man. They adopted a baby. They put a fake boob on and fed it for a while in front of the camera and laid in a bed together. It's just absolutely what we need right now.
That's gross. It's absolutely gross.
It's just, do what you want. It's the freest country in the world. But why is that? We got to pick this guy. Why? Because he married to a dude. They adopted a baby. They're feeding him with a fake boob. That's outstanding. That's inclusive.
Hoorah! Hoorah!
Let's give him a cabinet job.
Hey, let's put another star on the flag for that guy. We'll make him his own state.
People say we've been told forever that MAGA Republicans are extreme. They're extremists. They're extreme, extreme. Well, lo and behold, most Democrats feel that the Democrat Party is also extreme because of this extreme BS ideology, the trans ideology, the gender ideology, the whole pronoun stuff. It's just not. It's wildly unpopular, yet it still persists, and that is a losing. Democrats are going to understand one day that's a losing proposition to a losing ideology to run a party on. It's certainly not a voter concern, as are almost every other radical policy for them.
Well, and when you think about the hard numbers, the trans, that type of lifestyle is less than 3% of the population. So when you realize. And I don't think the Democrats realize what 3% means, or less than 3%. That means even in their own party, it's not their majority of people. So they're catering to less than 3% of the population, and they're trying to run a campaign on it.
They're not really catering to them. They're utilizing them to shame everyone who doesn't agree with them. Regardless, you never hear them talk about the size. They never go, there's so many trans people that you wouldn't believe it. They're everywhere, everywhere you turn. The guy next to you might be a trans person. They're, because the numbers are so low, but, after they got the LGBT thing done, they're like, oh, we got the LGBT thing done. Gay people can get married. They have all these rights, blah, blah, blah. They're like, man, we've really lost our steam to excite people and extort them out of their money.
Okay.
Well, let's add something. How about LGBT? Oh, yeah, T. That's good trans. Let's get those people. And the trans people are like, well, yeah, we'd love it. You LGB guys did a real good job. We'd like to tag onto your coattails and ride this.
A Q and a Q and a T.
Yeah, and ride this for a while. And then for a while. And then they got wacko with their ideology, and the LGB guys like, whoa, hey, hold on. We didn't invite you on this train, you know.
Yeah, but there's plenty of room for everybody. But here's my question.
No, it's not.
I got a question for you when we get back from the break. How many people?
This is a long break.
How many people are leaving the country? How many de factos are we going to have when it switches? It's Florida Man Radio. This is special election coverage 2022. Shannon Burke, Jonathan Morris, and the whole crew. Heather, you're doing a great job. Eric, you look so serious right now. We'll be right back. Stick around. Serious.
Special election night coverage of the 2022 midterms on Florida Man Radio.
So it's they just called Kemp out of Georgia. Stacey Abrams has fallen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what will we ever do?
And she's not sure if she's going to get back up, so.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
They called it for Kemp?
Yes, they called it for Kemp.
They called it for Kemp in Georgia. All right, Shannon, we got Sarah on the line. You want to take this?
Absolutely. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Mazel, boys. Mazel. All around.
Good things.
I called because of the, so I'm taking you guys off speaker, better quality, right?
Right.
I'm trying to get that Kate voice. No, but I just literally gotten like almost a violent fight with somebody who was like, Obama did, it was like, no, racist stuff. It was like a black man, like an older black man. And he was like, Obama did everything. And I was like, but what did Trump, like, obviously Obama hasn't been president in like 8 years. Like, what the, like, pardon my language, didn't say anything. I stopped myself.
Did she just bleep her own self?
She did bleep her own self.
You're a classy lady. Thank you.
Thank you so much for saying that. Oh, my God. You made my night.
All right.
I think I just ended a relationship. I ended a relationship because somebody told me to shut up because I was like, Trump did.
Hello?
Hey.
Is that it?
No, you're still there. Are we good?
And, I'm here. Oh, can you guys hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, thank God. But he said Biden, he said people go, I'm sorry, this is hard to say. People go into office and then they age. And I was like, it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years for Biden.
Right.
What is the excuse?
And what did he say?
Everybody around me. He was like, well, you don't understand the presidency. I was like, what about Trump? And he was like, oh, Trump doesn't count. He's like, Trump's a horrible person.
They all have
that. And I was like, you don't make sense. I was like, there's no logic. And that's why, like I said, I think I just ended a relationship with a cool guy from El Paso. And I played Beto, whatever that song is that you'll always play. I love that song. I've been playing that on nonstop. Like,
fake Mexican, real Pendejo.
Yes, he is a Pendejo. He's the biggest Pendejo. And I realized that this guy's a Pendejo, too. Like, you don't tolerate that. Like, Trump's a great guy. Trump did so much for America.
He's been maligned.
Like, my heart.
Well, listen, do me a favor. Don't be a statistic tonight of a good conservative Republican woman going out and beating up some old Democrat over the election. So we're winning. So let's keep winning.
Sarah, good to talk to you, babe.
Stay safe, Sarah. Stay safe. Thank you for calling. All right. So astonishing, Shannon. And I know it's over, but Rubio now, just as they keep counting, he's up by 1.2 million. And DeSantis is almost up by 2 million. So obviously it's over, but it's just I guess it shouldn't be astonishing. It's impressive.
Well, yeah, for somebody who, like Chris, who was talking such a big game, you know, like, yeah. Oh, we got this. We'll wipe him out. Yeah.
No, right. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're winning good. Kerry Lake, they had on earlier, but, of course, 30 minutes in, and in Arizona, they announced on our TV that if you were in line at 7, they were going to allow you to stay in line until you got to the door to vote. So they still have not finished.
Where is this?
In Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So even though it officially closed 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours ago, they announced that if you were in line at 7 and validated, they would make sure you got through the line to cast your ballot.
I wonder how many people are still in line.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, of course, the news comes on and says, still too early to count. So So they have no results yet, but
they didn't have any problem 2020 calling Arizona in
like 5 minutes.
Right. Polls open. Arizona's done.
So. Well, it's awesome because Florida's done. We're done. 2022 is over with. We're moving to 2024. DeSantis is already making breakfast tomorrow for his kids. We're rolling. You know what I mean? And Florida's got this in the bag. And
here's part of DeSantis' acceptance.
We have embraced freedom. We have maintained law and order. We have protected the rights of parents. We have respected our taxpayers. And we reject woke ideology.
Yes. Amen, brother.
We fight the woke in the legislature. We fight the woke in the schools. We fight the woke in the corporations. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Florida is where woke goes to die.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is incredible.
That's awesome stuff.
I almost think that was an eviction notice to Disneyland.
Well, I don't know about that.
A lot of taxes.
We can't.
A lot of taxes. A lot of employment. We get a lot of money.
Drawing the line in the sand that we're not going to put up with the woke stuff. That's where Democrats became extreme, and that's where we're going to draw the line. It's not going to happen. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I had a conversation in the shop today. A young lady came in. And she was so distraught. I was like, calm down. I really think Florida has spoken. I think we got this. And she's like, she was almost shaking. She was nervous. And she's like, could you imagine what would have happened if Gillum would have won? And I was like, we wouldn't be standing in my butcher shop talking to each other.
Not.
You know? What a different turn of events by having the right man at the gatekeeper.
It comes down to elections have consequences, you know?
Yeah, they called Arkansas. Is that Huckabee?
Yes. They're calling for Huckabee?
Yes. Yeah, they just called Arkansas, yep.
Wow, look at Warnock Walker. That's close. 49 to 49.1.
And that's right now that should trigger, no matter what, they're probably going to have to do a runoff on that.
You think so?
Well, yeah. Fulton County's already in. It looks like 1, 2, 3, like 4 or 5 counties aren't in, and most counties are in Atlanta are red, except for the key ones, you know, the Fulton, the most populated.
But isn't that the same one that had to run off in 2020? Was it Fulton County? Who had to go back to the runoff for that? Because we lost that.
Well, there was allegations of Stacey Abrams thought that, or the election prior to that in 2020 was, there was a two recounts.
Yeah, two of the Senate. I thought two of the Senate seats, and that's what flipped it. We lost that Senate seat in Georgia. You would know more than that.
To Warnock.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so.
All right.
Hochul's leading Zeldin at this point, which is, you know, kind of a letdown.
Actually, obviously, by quite a bit right now.
Is it really?
Right now, 25% of the vote are in. Hochul's up 66% with 80.
But they can vote until 9 p.m. there, right?
So there are votes coming in. But Schumer's already locked up. There was no doubt about that. Joe Pinion had no chance in that race. Otherwise, it looks like Letita James is probably going to take the AG back spot in New York. Right now, Oz has taken back a big, giant cut into Fetterman's lead.
All right.
That was at 70% Fetterman. It's now sitting at 55% Fetterman, 42% Oz, as a lot of the red counties in Pennsylvania have start putting their votes in.
Good, I'm happy to see that turn.
They called Iowa governor for Reynolds.
Beto just lost again. What's Beto going to run for? Stacey Abrams lost again. What's she going to run for? These people need to give it up. We don't want to see their name on a ballot ever again.
Well, you don't want a Beto Abrams presidential run?
I would like that.
So my question is, who funds these races? Not taxpayers. They get private money.
George Soros, Hollywood. Okay. You know, yeah.
All right. All right. So the money they raise is not affecting me and you. And it's not coming out of our money that we pay in.
Last election that Stacey lost against Kemp for governor, 80% of her money came from outside the state of Georgia.
Wow.
Now, that should be illegal, but it's not.
You would think, right? If you can't raise money in your own state where you're running, you shouldn't be able to run.
Why should California have any say and any input and any ability to contribute? You know, it's all about money in these races. Then the money you spend to campaign and campaign and campaign and campaign, it does work. You know, and it shouldn't be up to the money from the people in the state that are actually going to live under or suffer under the consequences of this election. I that's what I fully believe.
No, I agree 100%. If you can't raise your base in the state you're running in, then you should not be able to accept money from, you know, outside of that.
Hollywood. If you're in Georgia, you shouldn't be getting money from Hollywood. Although, Hollywood had a lot to gain, you know, from the film industry in Georgia and getting all the tax breaks and so on and so forth. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if Stacey will now concede, you know, after she thinks that for sure she should already. She, you know, in her mind, she's still the governor. From the last election.
Yeah, she's never been dethroned. What are y'all talking about, y'all crazy people? Shouldn't go nowhere.
And then watch where they go next. Watch where the Betos go. Watch where the Stacey Abrams go. These are people that are political grifters, just out to run for things and run for things and run for things. You find many of them on the Democrat side. They don't seem to go away, and they just kind of linger. They slowly but surely they gain a little bit more traction or importance. You know, Stacey Abrams raised a lot of money in the state of Georgia. She got the All-Star Game taken out of the state of Georgia. They become more powerful, even though they're not elected yet. They haven't been held an elected position. Simply by running and running and running and running, they gain traction and a lot of momentum. And that's,
you know, you think they'll end up on a network somewhere as a talking head, or they'll
think either one of those two, not Beto or her, because I think both of them have nothing but political aspirations, and both of them believe that they should or will be president someday.
Oh, wow.
They do. They really do. And they'll keep running for stuff. And I don't know what's next for Stacey Abrams, if it's a governor or senator or whatever.
But will they move to other states, or they'll just keep mooching Georgia dry, tying up elections in Georgia and Texas?
I don't know. You're usually, unless you get totally run out of a state, you usually keep it, make it your home. You get the most name recognition there, even though you've failed 19 times.
there's always 20th.
Yeah,
20 times, we made it. We stayed until you got so sick of us that you finally put us in.
Yeah.
They played the long game. It's like, you know, being at the bar, last man standing. You're not necessarily the girl's best pick. You're just the last dude standing there.
Right. It's 2 a.m. and the lights have come up and you got to get somebody to go home with.
And Stacey Abrams is the last dance. maybe my children will be voting for her. Or against her?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah,
more or less.
That's, you know, crazy.
That's the career. Even though she hasn't yet to be a successful politician, she is now a career politician. So is Beto. He's been a less than successful politician. Stacey Abrams has never been a super successful a politician, but yet they're still career politicians.
So you think people look at it like, let's say you invested in the Meme Organic Meats, okay? You know, you put up a meal for me. And I come out the gate, and it's like, man, Shannon, everything I try, we're failing. But you got to get that meal back. So you keep dumping in and dumping in and dumping in, hoping eventually I pay off. So are they like an investment property for these money people that, like, all right, we put so much money into Abrams and O'Rourke, we got to just keep pumping them up, and hopefully one day we'll get our money back?
They're effective. Well, yeah, that. But even though they don't become or get elected, they're effective messengers of the narrative, you know.
Oh yeah.
There, you know, Beto gets up there and says, hell yeah, we're gonna take away your AR-15. You know, those type of things. Those are important moments that they look at as pivotal, you know. When Beto said, hell yeah, we're gonna take your AR-15s, well, guess what? Who's not getting elected? But everyone else, like, oh my God, it's so brave. I love him so much. But those moments are worth something in the long run to a party. That's why he'll hang out, you know, he'll bounce around, maybe, who knows, state legislature, I don't know, county commissioner, but he's not. What else would Beto do? And what else would Stacey Abrams do besides write those steamy love novels she writes?
Right, yeah, nothing. All right, so they called South Dakota, Tennessee, and South Carolina all for Republican governors.
Yeah, Sanders, they've called for Arkansas over Chris Jones.
Yes.
That's good.
Yep. So all three of those, if you're listening in South Dakota, go red.
South Dakota, by the way, the number one place to find a Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton in the world. Yes, absolutely. Learned that just yesterday.
It is called Scott in Vermont. Really? You really learned that? Like, you're not lying to me right now.
I'm not.
You're just coming up with content at 9:50 at night.
The cradle of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. You can look it up. Skulls, skeletons. They're more found in South Dakota than anywhere else.
All right, I'm going to take your word for it.
Please do.
I will. I'll take you to the bank. You are a trustworthy person. You're very trustworthy.
It's obvious if I'm trying to. So I'm trying to hoodwink.
All right,
you.
Ivy got it. They called Ivy. Did we talk about that yet?
Ivy.
In Alabama. Kaylee Ivy. Did I pronounce her name wrong?
Yeah.
Kaylee Ivy in Alabama. Did we already say that? Did we talk about that earlier? I'm sorry. Just repeating myself here. I feel like the guy on TV.
Usman, Colorado. Oh, that's not good. Colorado's pretty left.
Yeah, you know, as the night goes on, and as this will play a part, obviously, in 2024, there's more red governors popping up throughout the country than Democrats, but there's still a lot of Democratic states out there that are voting blue with the governor, the Senate's. There's a lot of people getting called Connecticut. You know, I think those places will never flip. They're blue all the way through and through, correct?
Right. I don't know. There were a lot of people that had hopes for Zeldin in New York. I don't know what's going to happen in that state. But it would be some 40 years since they've had a Republican governor. Same thing with Michigan. Same thing with Oregon. It's been maybe it's 40 years for Oregon and 30 years for New York. It's been a long, long time since the governor's party has changed hands in many of these states. Oh. And it's likely to happen.
Sorry, hang on. Walker just took the lead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think he was a half a point up. I mean, there's still some votes to come in, but, yeah, they just rolled pretty fast. Sorry to cut you off, but they rolled it pretty fast. But Walker was up, it looked like 49-7 to 48-8 or something. So that's pretty tight. Are they all in, Eric? How's that look over there?
No, they're still only 74% in.
That's one that might be a day or two. Also.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Really?
It's like, Florida is pretty much almost completely counted and done with the 21 million people we have in the state, and they still have only 21% of the votes in Philadelphia County, in Pennsylvania. So,
you know, we made
21%, that's it?
Just 21%, yeah.
Wow.
We may have really messed up Gore Bush, but since then, we've nailed this thing to the ground, you know? We've got this voting thing down pretty good in Florida.
Yeah, Pennsylvania has only total 35% counted.
God. You want to hit some mics?
Yeah, let's go clear through them real quick.
All right, let me go start here.
Executive Order 8675309 is about to be enforced. Shannon.
That's great. What worm did you open?
The used Ed Till dildo of consequence rarely arrives lubricated. Shannon.
God.
Hey, Shannon, King Daddy Fart Bucket up here in Atlanta. I just wanted to send out a little PSA, honestly, to the Queef Cups. I'm grateful. I know that we banded together today and we voted the way we thought we should and the way we should. And I just want to let y'all know that for a brief moment in time, we were on the same team. But that was 7 a.m., 7 p.m. After 7 p.m. now, Queef Cups, go to hell.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us on the radio, buttholes.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Eric, Sturt Double Bene are enjoying some grasshoppers in the inflatable jacuzzi on your spacious balcony. Perhaps you would like to join us after you get off work.
Grasshoppers, huh?
The radio show post-stroke. Welcome to the Shannon Burke Show on a Tuesday. Good night.
Pretty much.
Hey, it's G from Orange City, and we all knew it. Florida's redder than a dog's ding-a-ling. Go DeSantis, go Rubio. Sorry, Big Bow. Be-doo, be-doo.
What an analogy.
Sarah is so hot when she's been partaking in alcohol beverages.
And
she's agitated.
Yeah, poor Sarah. Don't beat her up,
Sarah. I would love to party with her.
Why does Dade go red, but Broward and Palm Beach County still blue?
I think Miami-Dade is more Hispanic. Wouldn't you guys agree?
That's exactly why.
100%.
And I think the Democrats have lost Hispanics for sure.
They said that he took up to about 75% of the Hispanic vote in that area.
Ooh. Yeah. That's dangerous for them for 2024.
Let me see. Yeah, that's it. Those are the remarks we have. Download the app. It's a lot of fun. You'll enjoy it. Any other breaking news?
It's looking like what we predicted, that Georgia is going to be down to the wire. Herschel has officially taken a 0.1%. 0.01%.
That's not necessarily what you would call a convincing lead.
No, this is going to go to a runoff. I do believe they have to take 50% of the vote. I don't think either of them are going to get it. It's going to be really close. Fetterman, Oz. Oz is chasing Fetterman down pretty quickly, but it's not looking good, honestly, I don't think, on that one. Hochul has got a giant lead on this one right now.
But
I'm really surprised about that.
Only like 25% are in, though, on the Hochul thing.
Yeah, it could flip a lot. AOC has already taken hers with a total of 70,000, or less than 70,000 votes in.
Wow.
She won hers with 63,000 votes. That's the
good
worst.
Lord.
Arizona has not started releasing updates yet, even though they've been closed for a little while. And in fact, I believe there is already lawsuits being sent by both sides saying that the election may be a little hinky there. So that one is
they've already filed lawsuits?
Yep.
Wow.
So absolutely. Lawyers on the ground everywhere.
Yeah, is going to take some time. And let me roll back up to Michigan because I just had that for a second there.
So real quick, while you're looking that up, the runoff in Georgia, that's like a week and a half type deal? Or is that something that'll start tomorrow or the next day?
What?
The runoff. If Walker and them have to run off, do a runoff.
It won't happen for a couple of months, 3 months. Probably.
Oh, wow.
And then Michigan, again, the votes are very low in right now. Whitmer has a lead, but they've only got about 500,000 votes in. There's 600,000 votes in for governor so far. So that's got a long way to go still as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shapiro is killing it in Pennsylvania, but I guess everybody knew that, right?
Yeah.
The governor. Governor's race in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
They didn't call it, but he's up like 7%.
Here is CNN's John King telling people to stay off social media tonight.
Man, we're keeping an eye on that one.
That's good. But you see, that's our first votes, and that's the wonder of democracy, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. And I wanted to point that out to be a little bit of the crank in the room following Brianna there. Stay off social media, people, if you're trying to figure out, are there really issues with voting? Trust your local officials. Trust us here. Trust a news source that you know. And trust, to be honest about this, they're doing their jobs and they're doing it right. So what was Brianna just talking about?
Yeah.
Just trust them.
Trust your local officials.
Stay off social media.
You know, trust the science, right? I mean, right? Didn't that work out really well for us?
No, it hasn't. I mean, my advice to everybody, if you're on the losing side, don't go burn nothing down tonight. I said my advice to anybody on the losing side is don't go burn anything down tonight, you know?
I've never understood that call. Republicans usually don't get violent if they lose an election. And, if everyone predicts the win we're going to have tonight, why would we get violent? We just go to bed happy.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's just them manipulating and spinning the news to try to shake people up.
Thanks for joining us for the midterm election coverage. Thank you, gentlemen. And Heather, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
What? Go ahead. Bring it up.
No,
take it up.
This is it. Florida Man Radio. Thank you for joining us. We will see you tomorrow morning right here.